My name is Ben Burrell, and this is Bob Dylan Album by Album, a podcast that brings you an in-depth look at each Bob Dylan studio recording, record by record. So welcome to this final episode, at least for a while, of this podcast. We're going on a, as they seem to call it these days, lengthy hiatus. Just before we get to this final episode, just wanted to say, well, thank you for listening over the past few years now. I honestly can't believe this podcast has gone on this journey. I've said this before on this show, so forgive me for repeating myself. But I recorded like a kind of pilot episode just to see what it would be like, and I thought it sounded okay, and I uploaded it to this podcast server again just to see how that whole process works. And I did that over a weekend, and I started to get emails and reviews from people like the following week, and I couldn't believe it. And I thought I better start doing more. I didn't realize how quick it would be for people, one, to start listening to it, and for people to feedback on it as well. So this show really wouldn't exist without you. Without people doing that, I wouldn't have carried on. So thank you so much for your enthusiasm and your listening hours. I can't believe we've reached over 1.5 million downloads for this podcast, and I'm super proud of that achievement. Not only because I enjoyed doing this, but because, you know, in the world of podcasting, you don't tend to get to that sort of those sort of numbers. Not that that's a big achievement, but you don't tend to kind of get out the gate at all unless you have a celebrity on every single week, and we haven't really ever done that unless you have backing from Spotify or Apple or someone like that. So thank you for making this podcast what it is. It's a true indie podcast, and it is all down to you. So nice one for listening. As I say, it shall return. Maybe if Bob releases a new studio album, that'd be great. We shall see on that. But for now, thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and we'll continue right now with the final episode of Bringing It All Back Home. Let's go back to 1965.
My love, she speaks like silence, without ideals of violence. She doesn't have to say she's faithful, yet she's true like ice, like fire.
And so our time with Bringing It All Back Home is almost at an end. It's hard to really think of another album that is as important to Dylan as this one. It delivers on almost every single level, commercially, personally, culturally. It set Bob free and put him onto a new path. But unlike a lot of other artists that decide to take that route into the unknown, it didn't cost Bob his artistry, nor his bankability. It might have felt like it did at times, but he didn't give up his sound in favour of something more sellable, nor did he do the reverse. It didn't feel like he went electric for effect. It felt like he did it because it was something he felt he had to do. Crucially, amongst all of this, he didn't lose sight of the fact that he is a singer-songwriter, and he had songs to sing and melodies to write. He never forgot that, and that's important. This was never an image-only thing. He knows all too well that without the songs, the whole exercise would have been futile. So while the packaging may have been a little bit different, at the same time, he was about to add some of his biggest weapons to his arsenal.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to.
Mr. Tambourine Man, for me, sits in that kind of universal song category. Quite a few Bob songs reside there, along with Beatles classics and Motown hits. Look and you'll see Blowing in the Wind and The Times There Are Changing, but this, for Bob, might just be number one. Its ethereal quality is its USP. It manages to be about nothing and everything at the same time, a sort of hazy drunk moment, a feeling of contemplation that summons the kind of reflection found on other Bob songs like Chimes of Freedom, but adds an emotional weight from a song like Forever Young into the mix at the same time. Whenever I hear this song, I always imagine a young man caught half drunk watching a street singer. The night is slowly falling, and in my mind it's recently rained for some reason. Perhaps it's the underlying feeling of shelter that comes in this song, a safety that, for me at least, seems to linger underneath it all. There's a sense that anything can happen to Anna Ray to hear in the way he's singing, but I mean that in a positive way. There's a feeling of vulnerability also, but crucially a sense of calm. Perhaps for once, Anna Ray, who has been facing an anxious future, might just be okay after all. This might all come from the line, "Let me forget about today until tomorrow." This feels like a moment where our narrator has finally had maybe not an epiphany, but certainly he's found some room to think, to share his thoughts with himself. Bob sings, "My weariness amazes me, I'm branded on my feet. I have no one to meet, and the ancient empty streets too dead for dreaming." His advance beyond his year's voice is never as far ahead of him as it is here. Elsewhere he sings, "Though you might hear laughing, spinning, swinging madly across the sun, it's not aimed at anyone, it's just escaping on the run. And but for the sky, there are no fences facing. And if you hear vague traces of skipping reels of rhyme to your tambourine in time, it's just a ragged clown behind. I wouldn't pay it any mind. It's just a shadow you're seeing that he's chasing. But it's the final verse that knocks me dead. It's the culmination of that slight psychedelia that has been present on this album. Bob takes us from this life and transports us into another realm as he sings, "Then take me disappearing through the smoke rings of my mind, down the foggy ruins of time, far past the frozen leaves, the haunted frightened trees out to the windy beach, far from the twisted reach of crazy sorrow, yes to dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the circus sands, with all memory and fate driven deep beneath the waves. Let me forget about today until tomorrow."
And take me disappearing through the smoke rings of my mind, down the foggy ruins of time, far past the frozen leaves, the haunted frightened trees, out to the windy beach, far from the twisted reach of crazy sorrow. Yes, to dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the circus sands, with all memory and fate driven deep beneath the waves. Let me forget about today until tomorrow.
This all happens before he finally asks our tambourine man to play on once more.
I'm not sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to.
Bob continues this remarkable finale of Bringing It All Back Home with Gates of Eden, another great, if not headlining, track. Not that that should take anything away from this song. Alongside It's Alright Ma and It's All Over Now Baby Blue, most songs would give up the limelight. Gates of Eden has the sort of hypnotic chord structure found on its trackmate It's Alright Ma, as Dylan delivers an updated blues song for the 60s. He uses the B minor chord and a slightly altered B shape to give the song a little bit of dynamism. All of this comes under some very this era Bobby lyrics, as he delivers words such as, "The savage soldier just sticks his head in the sand and then complains unto the shoeless hunter who's gone deaf but still remains upon the beach where hound dogs bay at ships with tattooed sails heading for the gates of Eden."
The savage soldier sticks his head in sand and then complains unto the shoeless hunter who's gone deaf but still remains upon the beach where hound dogs bay at ships with tattooed sails heading for the gates of Eden.
Once again, it's songs like this that really make this record. The headliners are here, of course, like I say, but an album is only as good as its parts. And here, Gates of Eden is a wonderful, strange, mystical chunk of art, whereas your average LP would have an album track here just to fill the gap between singles. Bringing It All Back Home really is the whole package. And this whole package includes the album's artwork as well. Now, I don't really go in for the whole Bob is a pioneer of everything kind of theory. In fact, as we know, he took a lot of his best ideas from other people and did them in his own way, but still took them from other people nonetheless. He has had a hand in changing how artists approach their artwork. There's been some iconic album covers in his run-up to Bringing It All Back Home, but arguably this is the most detailed his sleeve work had become up to this point. Here, Bob teams up with photographer Daniel Kramer. Kramer had become aware of Dylan a year previously after seeing him on TV, and being ambitious, he had badgered Bob's manager, Albert Grossman, for a chance to shoot the star. The two met in the summer before the album came out, at Albert Grossman's house, and they bonded over a shared fascination with Salvador Dali. Kramer himself had assisted a photographer who had shot the Spanish artist several times. He asked if he could take some shots of Dylan, and Bob agreed. During the session, Bob is quoted as saying, "You can do anything you want, you can shoot anything you want, the whole day, wherever you want, as long as I don't have to sit still in a chair." The day was a success. Both Bob and Albert liked the finished images, and Kramer was invited to some of Dylan's shows and then into the studio for the Bringing It All Back Home sessions. By this point, he'd of course become an obvious choice to shoot the album artwork, but Columbia, Bob's record label, they weren't so sure. "I went to the art director at Columbia Records," Kramer explained to an exhibition in November 2019. "I said, Bob would like me to do an album cover. And he said, you can't do it. Bob's a superstar and we need a superstar photographer to do it. Upon hearing this, Albert Grossman was not impressed, to say the least. According to Kramer, he marched both him and Dylan into the art director's office and, to quote him directly, it got very ugly. But when we left, I was going to shoot the album cover. God knows what Albert Grossman did. Maybe it's better we don't know. There was one condition from Columbia, though. The label insisted there had to be a woman in the shot, just like on the freewheeling. Dylan apparently wasn't that keen on having his girlfriend Sarah as the model, possibly because of that slightly awkward Joan-Sarah love triangle we mentioned a few episodes back. Instead, the model nominated for the job was Albert Grossman's wife, Sally. Bob wanted Sally to be in the photo because, well, look at her, Kramer told The Guardian a few years back. The photographer's concept for the art was that the subject was going to be in the centre of a chaotic world represented by all kinds of items strewn across the scene. Kramer says Bob Dylan not only sees the world around him changing, but also understands it, while it is blurry for everyone else. To create this blurry frame, he decides to get a little bit technical. Kramer says, I remembered a picture from Richard Avedon. He was a star photographer. What he did with a picture of Brigitte Bardot, he photographed her with her hair loose and then put his hand over the middle of the picture whilst the thing was closed so that she wouldn't get blurred. And then he moved the easel like this. At this point, he makes a movement with his hand from side to side without moving his wrist. And he says it gives the image a blurriness like waves in the ocean in her hair. He did the same for Dylan. So that is a manual effect actually on the image rather than today just someone popping it into Photoshop and doing the rest. They actually shot the final image at Grossman's house in Bearsville near Woodstock. The choice for the setting is actually the kitchen. They're right in front of the fireplace around a chaise longue, which was a gift from Mary Travers from Peter, Paul and Mary. Bob contributed magazines he was reading at the time and albums he was listening to the shots. These include Robert Johnson and Ravi Shankar and Eric Von Schmidt and many others. Also, Dylan's latest album, Another Side of Bob Dylan, is way in the back of the image. It's in the fireplace at the front. There's an EP from a French singer as well. Her name is Françoise Hardy. This is the second time Dylan honours her, actually. One of the poems on the back of Another Side is dedicated to her. However, the extended play in this image is only visible in the outtakes of the shoot. I made 10 exposures, Kramer explains. That cover shot was the only time that all three subjects were looking at the lens. That was Bob, Sally, and a cat. The cat looks scared, he said. Sally looks bored, and Bob looks like he's discovered that scowl. According to biographer Robert Shelton, and it's important you know this, the cat is called Rolling Stone, but other sources think it might be called Lord Growing. We might have gone a little bit too deep there on the research. Once they had the shot, though, cat and all, John Berg from Columbia's art department arranges it on that background with a border and picks the typeface. The photos on the back of the LP are also taken from Kramer's portfolio and arranged by Berg. The artwork, though, like on all good albums, enhances the music on offer and perfectly fits it. And the music on Bringing It All Back Home finishes with a song that not only brings the LP to a stunning close, but it also draws a line under the previous era of Bob's work. Bob says goodbye to the early part of his career and into this so-called electric era with an acoustic eulogy. It's a song of endings. A relationship appears to come to a close, an album comes to a close, and an era comes to a close all at once. It's also the last thing he records for the record that ends up on the track listing. Of the song, Dylan says, I'd carried round that song in my head for a while, and when I was writing it, I remembered a Gene Vincent song. It had always been one of my favourites, Baby Blue. He sings, when first I met my baby, she said, how do you do? She looked into my eyes and said, my name is Baby Blue. It was one of the songs that I used to sing back in high school. Of course, I was singing about a different Baby Blue. And he was. This appears a little more toxic, a little more philosophical at times as well. He drops lines like, take what you have gathered from coincidence. He drops them like they're throwaway thoughts, as Dylan adds some symbolist poetry into the mix. By the time we reach the final verse, though, we are definitely saying our final goodbyes. And it's everything. It's sad and difficult, but like this whole album, it, in a way, has been inevitable. Dylan sings, leave your stepping stones behind, someone calls for you. Forget the dead you've left, they will not follow you. The vagabond who's rapping at your door is standing in the clothes that you once wore. Strike another match, go start anew, and it's all over now. Baby Blue.
Leave your stepping stones behind, there's something that calls for you. Forget the dead you've left, they will not follow you. The vagabond who's rapping at your door
is standing in the clothes that you once wore. Strike another match, go start anew, and it's all over now, baby blue.
Dylan did something courageous that started with this album, and while it was a difficult process to go through, there was rebirth in death. Without Bringing It All Back Home, Bob would be stuck in a one-dimensional format, but with it, he flourished in many lives from here and beyond. It's All Over Now, Baby Blue is the perfect end to the Dylan we once knew, to the era we once enjoyed, and to everything that would come. Our vagabond was rapping at the door of something else. He'd struck a match and started anew whether we liked it or not. In more ways than one, it was all over. Now.
And it's all over now, baby blue.
That is it for this episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. As I said at the start, you really have made this podcast what it is. I am overjoyed that you have stuck with it, and also that you've been so diligent about sharing episodes and feeding back on episodes as well. Thank you if you have ever bought a coffee. Thank you if you have ever left a review. Thank you if you signed up for the Patreon when we were doing that as well. My heart goes out to you. Thank you so much for being here on this journey with me. I will see you down the road. I'll put in the episode's description a link to the website, so if you want to drop me an email, you can do that. Once again, thank you, and take care of yourself. And as always, may Bob be with you.